Kia ora, welcome to Asian in Aotearoa. I'm Jenna, and in this episode, I catch up with Rohil Kishore, aka Kishore. He's an artist, songwriter, producer, performer, and educator, and self-described overthinker. And he's of Fijian Indian descent, born and raised in Aotearoa. Rohil and I met in rehearsal for scenes from A Yellow Peril, so it was cool to have a proper chat. We talk about identity, the creative arts industry, general life stuff, and of course, music. If you're an Asian creative and you're listening to this before December 3rd, you need to come along to Asian Diaspora Dialogues, an event that's happening in Tāmaki very soon. I'm going to be hosting the day, and the day will feature awesome creatives and past podcast guests will be on the panels. Check out the links in the show notes for more info. Now, here is my chat with Rohil.
I love that you bought alcohol.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when I'm talking about myself. That long.
I know.
It's just like,
how do you feel about talking about yourself?
I don't do it. I never do it.
Oh, really?
No, never. But I guess we'll get
Well, apart from the next 60 to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
How old are you?
25.
Yeah. I'll let you drink that and then let's see what happens.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, okay. Well, with that then, he's taking a shot. Welcome, Rohil.
Are we rolling?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, thanks
Hi.
For having me.
To kick things off, tell me a bit about yourself.
My name is Rohil Kishore. I'm 25 years old, of Fijian Indian descent, born in Aotearoa. Interesting that I appear on this podcast because I don't actually know where I quite fit. I'm a creative and musician. Yeah, I think throughout my entire career, which has been, the better part of my life now, I've done all sorts of things from like charity playing, slowly working my way up through the industry into doing, now festival stuff. I've just come off a 2-month long tour. I landed yesterday.
From where?
All across the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
We played everywhere. I've seen the whole country in the last 2 months.
Okay, amazing. What a cool way to see the country.
I know, yeah, I get paid to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's the dream, right? I was like, nah, I'll travel later when I get paid to do it and do what I love the whole time as well. Yeah, we've played in tiny, tiny rural towns, beautiful communities such as Tolaga Bay, aka Uwawa, which has a population of 800.
Wow.
And I think we got at least 20% of the whole town into the show.
So when did you start drumming?
I started drumming when I was about 12. And the story of that is I was chilling at a lunchtime with some of my friends and just had a couple of sticks and was just tapping on, a bench or something. One of the music teachers there, who was actually this awesome, awesome lady named Mrs. Liu. And I think she saw me tapping and she said, hey, how about you come into the music department, have a hit on some actual surfaces that are there to be hit. Yeah, it was a match made in... Well, I won't say heaven because there's been a lot of ups and downs, but yeah, that was when I started. So about year 7 or 8. And now I'm 25, gone through university and high school. And
What did you do at uni?
Jazz performance.
Really?
Yeah.
Talk to me about your cultural identity, which you kind of mentioned at the beginning that you kind of don't know where you fit in. It's like, I feel like this is, welcome to the podcast. This is what it's about.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk to me about reclaiming, redefining yourself.
Look, I exist in a very, very strange space, and I feel for a lot of people who share this cultural identity of Fijian Indian being born in New Zealand. I think it's such a vague area to be in. Look, I've been laughed at for saying I identify as Fijian. I've been laughed at for saying I identify as Indian and don't really fit in as being a New Zealander. And so, what the fuck? Where do we go from there, I'm so proud of being Fijian Indian and New Zealander. I think what this is about now is just me owning that shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's about me embracing that instead of being laughed at. Because, being Indian, you get mocked all sorts of ways through school. And then, being Fijian, you can't really tell. You look at me, you wouldn't say I'm Fijian, and then being New Zealand, you definitely can't tell because,
So your parents, did they migrate here?
Yes, yeah, in like 86 when there was a coup in Fiji, and so they got the fuck out of there.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, so they've been here for a long while, and me and my brother were born here, and I think it's just a constant, where do we fit? Mm. Where do we actually sit, you know? And so for me lately, it's just, as I've come off this tour, I was touring with Rutine Spooner, who's an incredible vocalist, actor, and just leader, and just figure in the creative scene. Like, I can't tell you how inspired I am by him and his work. It's not just the work. It's, you know, anyone can go on stage and kill it and be, you know, a complete wanker afterwards, right? The thing that Roots did so incredibly well, and that I wish people from other professional backgrounds could see, is he built a family across that team in 2 months. There was no egos. There was just creative maturity. And we had this incredible compliment given to us by the CEO of the company that put on the tour. So, you know, quite a big wig. It was the least amount of toxic masculinity that she's ever seen in a tour in her entire life.
What do you think attributed to that?
Well, I think it's a lot of different things. One of the big things is that it was such a diverse team.
Mm.
We had all sorts of cultural backgrounds. We had someone that identifies as trans. Everyone served the purpose of the work, though. It was, how do we serve this work, which was really about the empowerment of Māori and telling their stories on a stage much grander than they've probably been allowed to. And that was what we were serving. We wanted to put this forward. We wanted to give them a chance to actually speak and say something with some fucking, you know, some force behind it. And every single night we played, there was never a single night anyone phoned it in or just said, okay, let's just get this gig done. It was, how do we make this better? It was honing the craft for 2 months straight. And how do we push these boundaries, and how do we tell these stories of people that desperately need them to be told?
So we met through scenes from Yellow Peril.
Mm, yes.
And I don't know how you were after that, but do you feel like after doing something like a tour or like a leg of a performance, something like that, do you get kind of flat
in
a space afterwards where you're like, okay, now what?
I think since I've navigated my entire life jumping from contract to contract and gig to gig, I think I've now sort of understood how to take those, as you described, flat lines in, you know, your career.
Mm.
And instead, for me, it's about getting the mind straight again, really reflecting on what we've just learned and been through. I've never felt so held and loved and appreciated as I did in that team.
Oh my God.
And when you go to these small, tiny rural towns, you see the appreciation in their faces.
Yeah.
We played venues so intimate sometimes where I could see the facial expressions of everyone in the crowd, and you could see tears, you could see laughter, you could see genuine gratefulness and appreciation. And you don't get that often as a creative up in here, up in the Big Smoke. You don't get that. What, fuck. You barely get water at a gig. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These people were formally welcoming us into their spaces early in the morning, right? They would do a mihi whakato, which is essentially a formal welcoming into the space, so we now share their home. They would set aside and cater for us in those mornings. They would make sure every need was met, and then they would let us do our work with a team surrounding us to make sure it went as smoothly as possible.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've never felt being so held as a creative. And that is something I desperately want to put into all of my work, to show creatives that, okay, you're doing this work, but it's not just about you getting it done. It's about a sense of community along the way and being appreciated for what you bring to the table.
When you emailed me, you mentioned before wanting to mentor and kind of to bring people through.
Mm.
Did you have much of that yourself?
I think I would be nowhere without a strong background of educators and people that had my back. But at the same time, there were massive, massive gaps in that. And navigating your way through such a volatile industry like the music scene or creative scene is here.
Yeah.
You need help. You need people to have your back. And I didn't for a very, very long time. And opportunities just don't fall. It's like, I don't know how you describe it. It's like, you know, whoever's above you will pick them up before you even get a chance to sniff at it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And so for me, as I work on this album that I've been working on for the last 3 years now.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about that, yeah.
Yeah, as I've been working on this, it's always been about, okay, how do we make this a completely diverse cast of people that likely would never actually work together but live within the same proximity of each other? We're all up in Auckland, you know, by and large. I need to connect these groups, but also create something that people would really want to listen to. And I need to give opportunities for these people who are lesser known and newer to the scene to appear on the same project that someone who's really well known is on. So that way people get heard.
Yeah. Okay, now talk to me about this album.
Yeah, so...
Start from the beginning.
Start from the beginning, okay. So a long while back, this is probably 3 years ago when I was... you know, rotting away in isolation as everyone else was, I decided I needed to do something that gave me a larger sense of purpose. I just couldn't take, you know, the 1 hour lessons of teaching and the gig every now and then. I needed something that I felt like, okay, this is something that's going to drive me every single day. And I figured out the only thing that I could actually do that would answer that sense of longing was create my own work. I hated being that musician that went to a party and got asked, hey, where can I listen to your music? And you say, oh, you can't. Like, okay, am I even a musician then? Like, what am I doing here? I've been in this, this industry for so long now, and I had nothing to show for it, really, other than one-off performances. Right, so then I took on the thing of like, okay, I'm going to make this album now, and I'm going to be pretty fucking relentless about it. So now where this chip on my shoulder comes from is the fact that I did a bunch of applications to Creator New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this echoes with a lot of people. Yeah. And so at the time, I obviously didn't know that this was such a big thing, but yeah,
good on you for applying.
Yeah. I thought I had this fantastic idea, and it was applauded by some. I had this idea of like mixing up the age ranges that work together, bringing new talent into, you know, the focal point of the music industry. Everything I wanted to do was laid out, and it got declined every single time. Right,
what grant did you go for?
Oh, I don't remember anymore. Okay. Yeah, I don't
you blocked
remember.
It out, that's fine.
Yeah, it's in the past. So and you know, the thing is, I would be that real annoying person and go and ask like, okay, what did I do wrong? How can I make this better?
Good for you.
And I would get that feedback, incorporate it into the next application, and still get fucking declined. Yeah, and so each time I was just like, okay, this is just getting worse and worse, fuck it. So I went into business for myself, and I spent up till now probably about $20,000 that could have been funded, but now I have an entire album ready to be put out. So it's done.
It's finished. Congratulations.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much. It's been a wild ride. Yeah. 3 years, and it's, you know, I've really, really just wanted to make it everything I wanted it to be. And I have this really strange perfectionist mindset.
What star sign are you? When's your birthday?
February 18th. I think it's either Aquarius or Pisces. It's like right on the day.
Oh, maybe you're Aquarius. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Diversion. Carry on.
Yeah, no, that's all good. but look, there's just so many... I got really, really tired of hearing the same musicians doing all the gigs. It's the same musicians. They're all 40 years old.
Yeah.
They've all got the same things to say. No one newer gets a chance.
Mm.
And I got so fucking infuriated by that. It just ate away at me, and that's exactly what I reflected through this project. Not just in the album itself, but recently we actually did get funding by New Zealand On Air for a music video. And so I took the exact same concept and threw it into that music video. I want people who are newer to the industry. Obviously it's going to be a lot of work, and a lot of the times they are out of the depth, but how else are they going to learn? When else are they going to get this chance to be paid fairly, which is something I'm super, super big on as well. Paid fairly, given time, given love, and given a chance to actually do what they want to do. No one ever gets this chance unless they're doing it for fucking nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So album is on the horizon. Done. I've met so many people that I've never even spoken to before, and they now are on the album itself. It's incredible to think that all it takes is a vision, and it just ties so many people together.
So talk to me about the actual music.
Mm.
How do you describe the album? When is it out? Or do you know?
Well, I can't say when the album itself is out, but I can say that I have a single release on the 4th of November.
Oh, cool.
And that is probably my most explorative and, yeah, I would say diverse too, single that I've had out so far. It's going to be, well, only one person's listened to it so far, and they described it as a journey.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean,
so is it ragey? What kind of music is this?
No, it's definitely not ragey. Okay. It is. I guess if we want to get nerdy about it, look, the way I did it is it's all about trying to have a narrative intact that is not on the nose. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be so dead subtle, but at the same time, just music that people could play in the background.
So subtle?
Yeah, I try and keep it subtle. Okay. I keep it within the. I guess with my background, I've kind of explored every genre there is to you know, in production and playing wise, you know, because I have a jazz improvisation background. I've kind of delved into all the genres, you know, so that comes through a lot in the album itself, where I'm really delving into whatever I think sounds best, instead of having that thing of, oh no, the label says you have to sound like this, or oh no, the label says this doesn't sound right, doesn't match your sound. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
And that is so liberating, because I've got people on this very album who can't, who take 9 months of rejection to all of their music, because I'm not going to name the label because this could be really bad, who take rejection upon rejection while they're pouring their heart and soul out into music.
Yeah.
Just because the label says, oh, it's not quite what you sounded like in those tracks that really did well on Spotify. So can you make something that sounds a bit like that? For them, it's just, oh, how much soul searching. It's so rough, because you're pouring your heart and soul out into this music, getting declined and rejected by whoever.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, back to the drawing board. I need to sound like how I sounded when I was 20.
Yeah. Man, so I used to work at a label. And it's so funny, like, I think back to some of the local artists that we had back then, and what you're describing is so, I empathize, and I kind of see it differently now. I mean, I was in my mid-20s back then, but I did definitely witness some of that kind of feedback.
Yeah, I bet.
And I'm like, fuck, that's tough.
Yeah,
it is. Tough. Navigating that as an artist, I think, would be really difficult.
Yeah. So that's also been me. It's like, how can I put stuff out that would be, you know, of the quality these labels would release, but at the same time, not be completely devoid of personality?
Yeah, it's still you, I guess, as an artist. It's like, how do you be true to yourself?
It's such a fine line, but at the same time, so rough when you remove that freedom, you know?
Yeah.
It's so easy to take that freedom for granted, but the second you're trying to do the thing you love and the thing you live for
and get paid for,
and then all of a sudden you're just like, no, don't do that. No, that doesn't sound that good. No, that doesn't sound like you. It's like, what?
It's
a really disgusting side of the industry that I've been exposed to lately. But I think that's enough of that, right? We don't need people to take in those vibes.
Oh, well, that's exciting. And, like, huge. For 3 years you've done this project.
Yeah.
You must be feeling... How are you feeling?
Very, very excited, because I genuinely don't think anyone knows what to expect. Because of the nature of the project, it changes by who's featuring on it. It changes by... I try and incorporate the sound of whoever I'm working with. And the thing is, people don't know who I'm working with.
Cool.
They have no idea. And honestly, I've done a pretty surprising job at roping people into this. And so I'm stoked, because people have no idea what to expect or what's about to hit them. So yeah, very, very excited. And I think, yeah, I'm so grateful. I'm so, so grateful for this scene and the people I've been able to work with and their dedication to it, you know? But now it's just about getting it out and people actually listening to it.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's so exciting.
Yeah.
What have you learned about collaboration and people?
Oh, wow. So I think without it, I've got nothing. It's so integral, and it's so easy to slip into this mindset nowadays of, It's me against the world.
Yeah.
It's just me, and I can do whatever I need to do, and I'm a powerhouse. It's not true. It's really not true. And the second I held my hands up and said, this is fucking awful if I don't incorporate the people that I look up to and play with, I'm done for. You know, it's as simple as that, I'd say. Collaboration is at the core of so many great things, especially like creatively. You know, it's like, it's almost incomparable to think of what I, I could compare it. I would not have an album if I didn't collaborate.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I needed people holding me up. I needed people saying, you can do this. I need just having someone being like, oh, that sounds pretty good. How about we do this with it? Just that is enough faith to tell me, oh, okay, maybe I am doing something right. Mm-hmm. And then nowadays you get a lot of those bedroom albums, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing wrong with them, and a lot of respect to the people who can do that, because that means they're just multi-instrumentalists and can sort of play everything. I can't. I really, really excel at one thing, and then there's a big drop-off in terms of how's my understanding of harmony and melody, right? As a drummer, I could hang in pretty much every environment you could possibly put me in, right? But then I have my downfalls, and acknowledging that is a big thing. It's very much so an ego thing. Mm. Acknowledging that, fuck, I'm not Tyler the Creator. I can't do everything at once. You know, that's just not possible. And that's what collaboration has really taught me, is that you don't need to do it all by yourself.
Mm.
And it's like a lot of things in life as well. It's like, you don't have to do shit all by your own. There's people out there. There's people that genuinely care about you and want to see you do well. And yeah, so telling myself that and understanding that has been a bit of a journey in itself.
Describe the kinds of people you enjoy collaborating with.
I think nowadays, more than ever, everyone has their own style, because you have to. It's a marketing thing as just as much as it is. But, you know, you need a style if you want a fan base. You need something people can hold on to and associate you with. But what I like so much now, and I can't name the collaborator just yet because I have to save that for when I announce it, but huge following, known for such a specific style.
Mm-hmm.
I throw a track at him, never met him before, he gets back to me pretty much on the same day.
Really?
Yep. And he's just totally committed to it. Yeah. And so what I find so cool about that is not being afraid to challenge yourself musically, because a lot of these are curveballs. You know, there's some pretty spicy stuff going on in a lot of the stuff I put out, but people are just so eager to do it and just go for it.
It sounds like you're pretty good at reaching out to people.
Absolutely. I have no shame whatsoever. So I think that plays a big part.
That's really good. That's really good. It's funny because I was actually just talking to someone about funding from CNZ last week, and we were talking about how I think particularly, I don't know if it's particularly, but in the Asian community also, it's like we can have the tendency to like kind of keep it to ourselves.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've struggled with that for a long, long time. Keeping everything in. And I think the more you slowly realize that, A, this is not healthy, and B, it doesn't need to be this way.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we have those values instilled in us. I think that's just how things used to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To
the point where I used to, like, kind of feel cringy about asking people to come on the podcast.
Wow. No way.
Okay. I know. Like, what? Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. to be here is genuinely a privilege. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
I think this is such an important platform. Seriously. And I think, yeah, no. Wow. That's crazy, right? And I think when you speak about it out loud, you actually realize, like, what the fuck were the mental gymnastics behind thinking asking someone to do this would be,
you know? I know it's all my baggage, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I openly
yeah.
admit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's been a journey. So it's been a good thing for me to start, just to like getting slightly uncomfortable.
Hard. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that's something I could learn from as well. Just embracing that feeling of being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Finding a way to almost be comfortable with the uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so a lot of this, what's the worst that could really happen? They say no. They don't reply.
Exactly.
Who gives a fuck?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Who really cares? It's like, okay, well, all right, I'll put these out and then I'll get you next time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's as simple as that. It's just like this whole funding story being declined, putting some work out after investing in myself. And then New Zealand audience is like, oh, okay, yeah, here's 10 grand.
Yeah.
Do something with it.
Yeah.
It's a big difference, you know, and I think I earned my way up just like that. And it's totally doable. Yeah, but it's just that little bit of just like...
You got to do something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. But I will admit I'm very lucky to be in the position, well, that I was in to be able to fund that like that. Most, I doubt, would be able to because that was a huge investment and I prioritized it a lot. Some might say very, very, you know, irresponsibly.
Do you mean your album?
Yeah, yeah.
Which self-funded.
Totally.
So you've been like working your ass off.
Yeah. I mean, so like, for example, I do these tours or I do scenes from A Yellow Peril or I do whatever. Mm. Money just goes back into it, just into the craft, yeah.
Fuck, that takes discipline.
It's a very unhealthily ruthless way of doing it.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I think I have, and that's been my approach for everything in this field so far. It's just been so fucking relentless. It's just, I've prioritized it. Over everything else.
Really?
By far everything else, yeah.
For 3 years?
For as long as I've been doing it, yeah. Since I was in high school.
Wow.
I failed year 13 for it.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't because I couldn't get through year 13. It's because I didn't go to class because I was at the music department.
Do you get asked this a lot? I'm going to ask anyway. What do your parents think about this?
They, at first, were terrified.
Hmm.
You're talking about the youngest child in a Fijian Indian family where my oldest brother... works managing all of the banks across Western Sydney. The middle child, bless him, he works at a university as a software developer. So you're talking about two people who are in incredibly lucrative fields. And of course, I love the way they work and I love them to bits. Yeah. You know, they inspire me all the time. But yeah, you talk about two people in a super lucrative field doing great. And then you have me. The fucking dropkick comes along and, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to walk headfirst into this super volatile field and not know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to find it out. I'm going to find a way.
Yeah.
I'm just going to trust myself and go for it.
Ooh, that good for you.
Oh, well, I mean, it's never a happily ever after, is it? It has its moments of like, fuck, this is an uphill battle. And then it has its moments of like, there's nothing in the world that could make me feel this way. Yeah. And there was genuinely moments across that tour that I just came off of. I'll just look up at the sky and just be like, wow, I've never felt like this.
How amazing.
And I never will.
I mean, you might. Limit yourself.
I might feel that good again, but it's just nothing else can get me there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think it's pretty scary because it desensitizes me a lot. It's like nothing else feels as great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now all I do is just chase that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that's very easy to chase. So. Yeah. So parents, yeah, they are super supportive of it now. I mean, all it took was them seeing me on TV a couple of times, I think. Yeah, they were in tears.
Really?
Yeah, they were in tears. God, they saw me on TV.
made it.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah. One time we were just chilling, having... a couple of drinks, and then out of nowhere, this was unexpected. I ended up being on TV3 for a bit. Yeah, that was speechless.
Mm.
So that was a real rewarding moment. I kind of got them to come around. But then the only person that ever really truly believed in me was my grandma. And so everywhere I go, whenever it's like performance related, I wear this gold chain, and that is for her. That is what she handed me after she passed away.
Was she musical?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. She was the only one in my entire family that had that thread. And then she always supported me. Always. And so, yeah, this album is actually really for her. It is my, I guess, like my final message to her.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Do you have any older Asian mentors?
Older Asian mentors.
Because most of the people that I speak to on here are in their 20s and 30s.
Yep.
But I'm kind of interested, like, who are all doing amazing things, but I'm kind of interested whether who are the older Asian mentors that that we kind of look up to or have helped us? The answer might, I don't know.
That's a really interesting question because I've never thought about that. Older Asian mentors.
It might be no.
Yeah, well, I don't want it to be no.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
no.
I'm trying to think of older Asian mentors. Well, I mean, the lady that first figured out and gave me a chance to play the drums was Asian. Mm. I mean, without her, none of this would have happened. So, I mean, if we think about it in terms of importance, she probably ranks number one.
Critical role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was super, super good to me. Very, very caring, very just facilitate. I mean, you know how loud drums can be. Imagine it, fucking angsty 11-year-old fucking, you know. Exactly. And she gave me that platform. But no, I can't really think of, other than, for example, family, immediate family, I can't think of, no.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, the music industry itself, especially here, is dominated by white males.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for a lot of them because they've seen a lot in me that I never saw myself and gave me a lot of chances. But yeah, that's just the reality. It's dominated by them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you teach as well, right?
Yep. Yep.
I think it's nice. So you're going to be, you'll be one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got the best drumming students in the country, actually. Yeah. I feel like that's important to put out there.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Ranking number one in all of that.
Wow.
So yeah.
Okay.
Hit me.
Is taking another shot.
No, I'm not.
You've mentioned being thrown in the deep end and considering quitting.
Oh, okay. So that is very, very recent. That's something quite fresh. I think a lot of what I've done so far, especially in the more recent years, the last 2 or 3 years, has been me trying to shake just being the drummer.
Oh.
I hate that. I hate just being the fucking drummer. It's just not real. It's not me. You know, I'm not just the guy that hits shit and goes home. There's so much more going on up here, you know? And I think a lot of it is I can do a lot of different things if I'm given the chance.
Mm.
You know, and I've really been considering that lately. And something I'm really, really big in telling people and explaining to people is to know your worth. And at the moment, the more I do this and the more I tick these bigger things off my bucket list, like having my own album, having a music video, the more I'm just like, I've done it. So, I've done everything I ever wanted to do in this industry from when I was 15. I've played festivals, I've played theatre, I've played places I never thought I would ever play. I've toured, I've got my own music now, I've ticked it all off,
uh-huh.
You know? I mean, what is there left for me to do? And so...
Okay, carry on, yep.
Yeah, and so I hit that and it's like, will I just keep being the drummer? You know, is that all I wanted to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because... if you think about it, as I've explained, is like everything's a relentless pursuit, right? Yeah. But what happens when I actually catch it?
Yeah. And then it's like, now what? Okay.
And so now I hit that point where I caught it. And now I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that hustle anymore. I don't know if I want to do
it. And fair enough, you know, because it is fucking, it can be a real grind.
Oh, absolutely.
So what do you think? Where are you at?
I think that I need to think about it more because if I call it, fuck, that is the definition of redefining myself.
Yeah.
I've never been, it's been just part of me. It's like people meet me and before they meet me, they know I'm a drummer.
Yeah.
They it's ingrained into me.
Yeah.
To separate myself from that would be, as I talk about it now, terrifying.
I think you should. Only because you say that it's terrifying. So I'm in leadership development now.
Mm.
We see a lot of people who come through our courses that... maybe slightly different, but their whole identity is their work.
Yeah.
And like what you say is you are more than a drummer. Yeah, you're more than that.
Yeah.
And then it's absolutely. Like, okay, so now you can get creative with what could that entail?
Yeah.
And that's kind of exciting. And you can reframe it like you've done so much, you've done everything you want to do. Mm. How fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I rarely ever give myself that I rarely ever, ever give myself that, wow, look at all the things I've done.
Oh, you don't celebrate yourself very well, is that? Is that
oh, no, 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 never, never, ever. I came off that tour yesterday. We did like 4 flights in 2-3 days.
Mm.
Came off the tour, got on the ground. I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to relax for a bit. The second I sat down to relax, I'm thinking about what's next. And I fucking hate that feeling. I hate that what's next, because it shouldn't always be what's next. It should be, okay, be proud of what you've actually just done.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, that thing with creatives is it's beaten into you to chase what's next, because most of the time it's paycheck to paycheck,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what's next? How am I going to sustain what I want to do and love doing? And fuck, that gets tiring. It gets exhausting.
Yeah.
Even if I go on a holiday, I'm still thinking about it.
Mm.
The second I come back or before I leave, I'm thinking about it.
Mm.
There's no detachment. There is never. And, you know, it's not just stepping away from being a drummer. It's stepping away from the field altogether that I was really thinking about. Because it's just like, fuck. You know, it's like, at this point, what am I doing it for? And there are moments where I really, really see the value in it. And I honestly love it so much.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't know. There could be a time where I have to call it and say, yeah, that's it. And 25, that sounds like a fucking pretty good age to do that, you know? But I don't know. It's still something I need to think about. And I think anyone I tell this news to, or yeah, anyone that listens to this and knows me, won't believe it, because it's just so me.
Mm.
I've spent fucking thousands of hours behind a drum set.
Yeah.
Thousands of performances. I think in a year I did over 180 shows. This is with the Pop-Up Globe.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's mental, the amount of time, and to just cut that off.
But I mean, I encourage redefining oneself.
Mm. Yeah.
I guess, because I don't really know you very well, so it's fine for me to be like, oh yeah, just it's time, be a whole new role. But also, like, through my work, I know people who are like in their 50s and 60s totally redefining themselves.
Yeah.
You can go through new phases multiple times through your life.
Yeah.
I think you don't have to just be one thing for the rest of your life.
Mm. Yeah.
I wonder what else you'd want to do. Because clearly, as your past has shown, you do what you were set out to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to limit yourself.
Yeah. I'll break away from that for a second. I used to have this dream. And what it was...
I love it. When people start laughing uncomfortably and talking about dreams, we're getting somewhere.
It's more just laughing at the prospect itself. Mm-hmm. But this... It's not a stupid idea, because I had this idea up until I was fucking, I don't know, 23, 24. So, mm-hmm, you know, I would have one of those little houses in Ponsonby.
Yes.
There's one of those old style houses.
Yes.
I'd drink a lot of Pals. I'd wear white. Uh-huh. And I'd have a blonde missus. And that was my dream.
Uh-huh.
And now, break that down further. Why the fuck was that my dream?
Sounds like a socialized one, but tell me more.
Yeah. Yep. It's breaking that thinking down of like, why is this all I ever wanted? Who taught me that that was the fucking pinnacle of my existence? And why, you know, the more you break it down, the worse it gets.
Like, no.
Why Ponsonby? Why is she blonde?
Yeah.
Why are those
Why
the
are you
ideals?
Wearing white and drink? I totally get it.
But you know that lifestyle. I've seen that lifestyle. Yeah. And it looks so fucking cruisy and it looks so fun.
Yeah.
And they're all, I don't know, they're all in marketing and...
and it's my water everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all in marketing and it's just
they drive nice cars and they go to SPQR.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just always a fucking good time. And I yearned for that for so fucking long. Until recently I'm like, that's not me. That never will be me. And I've just gotta find what it is that I actually want.
That's really interesting and really good reflection about what you think that you want. So before I left my previous job, I did this, there was like this activity and it was like a reflection. I think it was like I can't remember what it was called, but it was like an activity to figure out your dream. It was not dream career or dream job. It was like a work game sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was like a journal-y sort of thing.
Sure.
And one of them asked you all these sort of questions about, you know, what to kind of get to the nitty-gritty of what you might want and to start dreaming about what could be really amazing. And one of the questions I remember was, list some of the people that you're a little bit envious of. And I feel like when you reflect about the people that you're envious of, it kind of shows you what you want. And what's funny is that when I did that at the time, the people that I listed were all white, skinny, rich women.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And if I did that list again, it would be totally different.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like a really good snapshot to be like, okay, what am I looking for at the moment?
Fuck, that's terrifying, eh? Mm. So how long ago was that?
It was like, when was that, 2018, beginning of 2019?
Wow.
Not that long.
Yeah.
But it'd be a totally different list now.
I think that's fucking crazy, right?
Mm.
We have this kind of ideal world pressed into our minds.
Yeah.
And then the second you question that, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, it's like just that relates to mine. It's like, why was she blonde?
Yeah.
Why?
And they're all like married and in stable relationships. Like I was very, yeah, it's a really, it's an interesting thing when you start thinking, like unpicking.
Yeah, absolutely is. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I mean, the more I think about it, the more it just weirds me out, right? It's just, yeah.
But I mean, we are in New Zealand. I can totally understand why.
Mm. Sure.
The younger you, past you, would have wanted that.
That was all I ever wanted. Yeah. That was all I ever wanted. And my stupid ass thought drumming would get me there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now what do you want?
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Okay.
I feel like I'm in such a state of flux all the time. I don't actually know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. But for that question, would be so easy to answer.
Tell me more.
It'd just be so easy to answer. Just be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Going to make a decent amount of money, live, you know, in Ponsonby, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But now it's like the things I genuinely wanted, i.e. getting those moments in my performance career, being able to sustain a career in such a volatile field, being able to make connections with people, giving people opportunities, trying to serve a purpose that's something greater than me.
Mm.
Yeah, a lot of that I can tick. Obviously, there's things I still need to strive towards in terms of serving a higher purpose, but a lot of those things I can tick. But then this very, I don't know what you'd even call this very whitewashed dream of how I should be living is unrealistic and fucking ridiculous.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like you're at an interesting time.
Shit, yeah.
Where you're thinking, okay, what do I really want?
Yeah. Yeah.
How would you like to feel?
I don't know. I haven't felt at peace or at ease for a long time. Yeah. I think it's always just been more. Something else will make this better, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I keep a lot of that in
mm-hmm.
a lot of the time, because that's the mentality I have. I'm just a drummer, just do the job, tell the story that someone else is telling. But yeah, my own story, I don't know. I don't know how I'd want to feel. I want to feel, I don't know.
I feel like if you haven't felt ease and peace in a long time, there's something in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, as I say, it's relentless, and that also entails prioritizing what I'm trying to do over mental well-being. That suffers a lot.
How do you look after your mental well-being?
Oh, geez.
The answer can be you don't.
I don't know. I think because all of my dialogue is so internal all the time. I don't really talk to many people.
Do you journal? How do you get this stuff out? Or is it through like your music, your art?
Nah, it just never comes out. Which is, now that I say this out. And by the way, to whoever's listening, welcome to an open therapy session. You're welcome to join in.
Yeah.
We'll leave gaps for you to, you know, fill in with your own turmoils.
Mm.
But nah, it's just, I don't talk to anyone. I really don't. I'm like a recluse a lot of the time.
Are you? Are you an introvert?
I don't like those terms. I don't really think they're real. But
really?
Yeah. I guess if we're gonna use that, sure. But there's times I'm not, so, which is why I say I don't believe in them. But it's like there's a very select few people I'll actually talk to and engage with conversation.
Yes. Why are those people? What makes those people trusted?
They were with me from before I was anything, before I had any sort of, you know, reputation or achieved anything. Those were the people that were still propping me up and supporting me. And now it's easy. I get recognized a bit now if I'm, you know, like on the street or in a bar or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that because they've seen the end product. They haven't seen the hours and hours and hours of just mindless trying to get there. You know,
that's a really interesting thing, I think, about if you have a public profile. It's like you don't have any control of what people think about you.
No.
Which is tough.
Yeah, I mean,
of course they won't know. They don't know anything. They won't know. They'll only get this, like, a very superficial thing of you, idea of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's something I struggle with a lot. It's like I go to a house party, for example, and people will know of me or have heard of me and I don't know who they are. And it's just like this whole interaction, I just don't feel like I'm meeting you at the same level or I'm being met at the same level because I'm trying to genuinely get to know someone. And I'm just, you know, it's a real, real strange way for, which is why I just stick to my circle.
Yeah,
I stick to that. And a lot of the time I don't talk to anyone, you know, which is really bad.
Outside of your circle, we just mean in general.
In general.
Do you think that needs to change?
Yeah, but at the same time, I have this constant thing of, like, I don't want to burden anyone with how I do feel. And so I think this is the first time where you're going to hear, like, a massive, I forgot what it's called. I guess I've contradicted myself in the long run here. And throughout the conversation, I was talking about collaboration and how that's so important, people propping you up. But then here I've gotten to this point where now we're talking more about me personally.
Yeah.
And now I've said, nah, I keep it to myself.
Yeah. Really good self-awareness.
Yeah.
I get that too. The not wanting to burden other people.
Yeah.
Are you the person that people come to?
I was for a very long time until I just stopped engaging altogether, really. I would always be the person that people came to. And then for a long time, I just refused to be that because that same care wasn't there.
What do you think might happen if you started to let people in?
I've always had this thing, and this, I think this could link back into, like, relationships as well, my love life in general, is that I never feel like I can offer someone what they deserve. And especially if I really think highly of someone, I can never really give them all of what they merit because my mind is always elsewhere a lot of the time. And that's just the genuine truth. And now I don't know how much of this is true, actually, and how much of it is like an excuse or a way to
keep yourself safe.
Yeah. Deflect things. But that's, I guess that's the conclusion I've found, at least. It's like, I don't think I can give them what they deserve. And so I'd rather not interact whatsoever. And I have had that happen a few times as well, where someone shows significant interest and I just can't sustain it because my mind is in many different places.
What about getting what you need? What about getting your needs met?
Can you elaborate on that?
That's important too. We were talking about relationships, but also in general, you know, how if you're keeping stuff to yourself, if you're not talking to people because you don't want to burden other people, that's also a way of you're putting other people's needs before yours all the time.
Yeah.
Because you might simply need to talk to someone.
Well, I always, and now we're really getting into, like, the cruxes of how I operate as a person. But I always think I can just take it. Broad shoulders, you know. I just like, oh yeah, I can take that on board. That's all good. Oh, might need to talk some. Nah, I can keep it in.
You know,
I got it. And I think this is such an important dialogue to have because I am also really trying to incorporate that mental health awareness in the industry as a whole, because I think it's so missed. It's just ignored, and it's just, yeah. And so this is a conversation I welcome, because, you know, if I can do it, anyone can.
Yeah.
I don't talk to anyone. Here I am doing this in like a
public. I know. Good for you for saying yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to shy away from. Yeah. I take it all. Yeah. This is the reality, and, you know, I face up to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's really good. Someone used the term, you got to eat your own dog food sometimes. Like, if you're kind of saying outwardly, you know, this is really important.
Yeah.
Then it's sort of like, okay,
yeah,
you got to do that. You got to do that for yourself as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. And I could post about it on Instagram fucking all day, every day. But if I don't actually put it into practice, what does it really mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. I hope you do start putting yourself first more.
Me too.
Your needs first more.
Mm. Yeah.
I wonder what that will look like.
Yeah, I can't even imagine it.
I know. Well, you've got some time now, so you should start thinking about it.
Yeah, hard out.
But that's cool. How spiritual would you say you are?
Quite. That's a really, I see that as a really vague question, though.
I know. On purpose.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
Intentionally,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know how to answer that. It's like,
I know.
yeah.
However you want.
Quite, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't carry around my grandma's necklace everywhere if I wasn't, I don't think.
Mm.
Yeah, because, you know, I definitely feel empowered and loved when I have that on, to a point where I could do pretty much anything, you know? Yeah, sorry, it's such a big question.
I know. I could have a whole podcast about that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I ask it every time.
Yeah. I'm happy to break it down further if you can elaborate.
If you want. Well, it's more like I'm kind of interested about how people feel about that question, what comes up with people when I ask that question, how people respond to it. There's no right or wrong. I kind of ask it just to see what comes out of people's mouths.
What do you normally get?
Generally, I would say the most common thing is people are going through a process of discovering what that might mean for them.
Absolutely.
And it could mean like fucking anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It really can, eh?
Yeah.
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 Mm. Yeah. No, I'd say, yeah, I describe myself as quite spiritual, yeah. Mm.
Cool.
It's just the nature of the work that it's, especially, you know, like, and I hate relating everything back to my work, but it's just been such a big part of my life,
yeah.
You know?
Of course, it's how you're expressing yourself to the world.
Exactly, yeah. So it's like, when I'm in those moments playing and something just goes right,
yeah,
that lift, you can feel the... Yeah, you can feel that room lift.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the people, it's not the sound, it's the entire room.
Yeah.
And all the space in between just lifts, and you can feel something almost otherworldly, which it's something you never feel on your day to day, you know? So, yeah, that is something that I'm aware of, trying to understand, but also trying to not understand, because I think that's such a... Yeah, that's such a human flaw of trying to theorize everything. Whereas sometimes it's just let it be.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, you're feeling it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Just feel it, you know.
That's a really great answer.
Mm.
I love how you connected that to spirituality.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Finish these sentences.
Yeah.
I'm feeling inspired by.
Okay. So, well, I'm feeling inspired by Rutine Spooner, who is just wow. Wow. I don't know how he works as hard as he does. I don't know how he carries his people the way he does. I don't know how he serves the purpose and how he hustles as hard as he does. He has a family at home, a young daughter and a partner, Kate, who I also love very much. He jumps from gig to gig. There's a Te Reo version of Frozen coming out.
Wow.
And he's one of the voices in there.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, just a few months ago, he came back from Sydney doing Jekyll and Hyde.
Wow.
Landed here, then the tour began. You know, he's just always working so, so hard, and he never phones it in. I watch him, he's dripping sweat, he's just at every show, and he's just going for it. And yeah, so that inspiration, that is the definition of inspiration for me at the moment. How do you work that hard so selflessly?
Mm.
So consistently, but it's not for himself. It's not for vanity. It's for he is serving his people while doing it. So yeah, that has been something incredible that has inspired me very recently. I'm also inspired by pretty much everyone that surrounds me on this scene, because now the further I get into it, the more I realize how fucking hard it is. And then I see people still out there doing what they're doing, you know, and it's just, that's very inspiring to me. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to if Scenes from a Yellow Peril tours.
Yeah.
People need to hear that shit.
Yes, I...
Christchurch needs to hear that shit.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
I really fucking want to host as well. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 no, yeah. Absolutely. I think it is... And I don't think we've talked about that show either. It's just...
It was too short, that run.
Yeah, know? Yeah, absolutely. I think it was hitting audiences across the face and they were just like asking for more, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, what a time. What a fucking magical show.
Mm.
The staging, the sound. The...
I know, what you guys... What we're wearing. It was really...
Oh, fuck, it was magical. And yeah. And to anyone that missed that and listens to this podcast, you must not be in Auckland, because if you are, what the fuck?
I know. If you missed it, what were you thinking?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay, the last... Finish this sentence.
Mm.
I'd love to be known for...
Forcing some sort of change in the creative industries. Like demanding some sort of change and eventually getting it. It's just a bit too inhumane at the moment.
Mm.
It's just, yeah, not fair overall. And newer faces, it's not realistic. It's not fair. And I think people need to be shown just the same care as if they were working in like a company, you know. It's like, yeah, people deserve to be paid fairly. People deserve to be able to see a therapist if they need one. People deserve to be able to make enough money to
live.
Yeah. And sustain their craft. And it's like, the more we devalue them and that, the more we're devaluing the work that comes out of here. And we have some strong fucking work coming out of here regardless. Imagine what we could do if people were actually, you know,
I know.
Looked after.
Imagine.
You look at Scenes from Yellow Peril. Fuck, that was good. It was like state-of-the-art level good. The staging, the production, just damn, you know? There's a lot of really world-class work that can come out of here. Imagine if we supported it a bit further.
Mm. Well, is there anything else? I think we covered a lot.
Mm. Yeah, we definitely covered a lot. We talked about a lot. I feel like a lot of this was just like a part one.
I know, like we could continue.
There's so much like... that you'd want to hear in 6 months, I guess.
I'll check in with how you're going. Yeah. You're like redefining yourself.
Yeah, wow. But yeah, no, seriously, thank you so much for having me. And listen to my music on Spotify.
Yes.
Follow me on Instagram.
I will be linking your Instagram.
Oh, cool.
In the show notes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Show some love. I think that's super important, you know. And yeah, this has been such a pleasure.
Thank you for coming. Jenna. That was fun. Thanks.
Shit, yeah, it was, eh?
Thanks for listening. See you at Asian Diaspora Dialogues. Again, all the info is in the show notes. Tell your friends.